We have now verse 9, the last verse of this introduction, the salutation and thanksgiving. And this is a verse that you could very easily pass over, and you'd feel like maybe that you hadn't really missed very much. And yet I feel that verse 9 is probably the key to the epistle. It emphasizes here the Lord Jesus Christ as being the solution to the problem, but it also emphasizes how he's the solution to all the problems that they had in the church and the personal problems they had in Corinth among believers there. And as we've said before, it's startling to note the similarity between the problems in the Corinthian church and the problems today. And the solution, I believe, is the same as it was then. Now, let's come to verse 9 and spend just a moment with this verse here. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, you've noticed that we've had the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned in this section in practically every verse. And when I say practically every verse, I mean every verse. Beginning with the first verse, he's mentioned, verse 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and now 9. In other words, this is the 9th reference to him in 9 verses. So apparently, Paul is putting an emphasis upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he makes 2 tremendous statements here. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, we have an extended name given to our Lord here. He is called the fellowship of his Son, God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Christ Jesus, our Lord. So that there are 4 points of identification of him here. So there's no way of misunderstanding. Now, the word that is important here is the word fellowship in connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've had this word before us before, and the word here is koinonion. And koinonion is used by Paul again and again. And fellowship here actually has several different meanings. It means fellowship as we understand it today. Also, Paul used it to refer to the contribution. He told about taking up a fellowship for the poor saints in Jerusalem. And that word is koinonion. He was taking up a contribution. And then he speaks actually in this epistle. In 1 Corinthians 10:16, he speaks of the communion here. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And he uses that word koinonion. It means communion. It can mean dispensation. It can mean partnership. And that's a good word for it, partnership. And here is the way I think it should be here. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the partnership of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, this is without doubt one of the greatest privileges that is given to us. Imagine that today when you're in Christ, when you've come to him as your Savior, he is our partner. He's willing to be our partner. And I don't mean to call him that. But he's our partner. The word can mean partaker, and it can mean communication. It has all those wonderful words. Therefore, it means an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, there are 2 ways in which you can have a koinonion, or a partnership with Jesus Christ. There is a business partnership. I know 2 men today one of them, very fine Christian. These fellows came out of the service years ago. They were friends in the service. They formed a partnership, and one of them got converted. Apparently, the other didn't. And it's been an unhappy partnership ever since, but very difficult to break because they have quite a business, and there's quite an investment that is there. But that's a partnership, but it's not as it should be. Then there's another way in which there is a partnership, and that's a love relationship. Marriage is a partnership in that sense. It's a koinonin on, and it should be a very close, intimate relationship. There's a passage back in the Old Testament, I can't help but smile, and I think I know what God had in mind because he'd been talking about the man and his wife. And he said, among other things, there were several things they were not to do, that they were not to hitch an ox and an ass together in a plow. They're not to plow together. Well, in marriage, I've seen many an ox and ass that have been hitched up together in marriage. And they ought not to be, by the way, because marriage is a partnership. Now, what does it mean, therefore, to have the Lord Jesus Christ as our partnership? Well, in business, it means that you own the things together. Now, everything that I've got belongs to Jesus Christ. Belongs to him as much as it does me. And he's interested in, therefore, what I own. And he ought to own everything I got. I must say that there was a time when I owned a few things I don't think he cared about. And I'm sure that there was a time when I very selfishly thought only of myself in connection with what I have. I don't have too much. When he's in partnership with me, he's not in what you'd call big business. But what I got's his today. I have a car, and I got a nice Chevrolet car because a wonderful dealer helped me get it, you know. And when I drove out with it, and it was mine, I told the Lord Jesus that it's his too, you know. And he's ridden with me in it, by the way. I feel like that we ought to bring him into close relationship. He's the owner of that car too. And whatever I got, it's his. I thank him for my house and thank him for taking care of it because it's his too, you see. Whatever I got is his. And then this matter of marriage. Now, that means certain things. You have mutual interests. Now, that means Christ is interested in me, and I'm interested in him. And that carries it to a pretty high plane, you see. And then we have a mutual devotion that's involved. His resources are mine, and mine are his. He doesn't get very much, but what I've got. In the marriage ceremony, and a very beautiful one, I've never used it like this because I feel like it might be misunderstood. And the bride says, with my body, I thee worship. That is, I present it to you. And he owns me. Now, that has answered quite a few questions today for me about where I can go and what I can do. Now, I'm going to say something. I ought to be very careful about saying this. But I used to smoke quite a bit. I couldn't now if I wanted to. Got cancer in the lungs, and you'd be pretty foolish for me to now. But when I made the discovery, not just that my body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, but, you know, he belongs to me, and I belong to him. And so I want to give him the best body I got. And so I decided that answered the question for me. And I don't know, maybe it won't answer it for you, friends, but it'll have a lot to do with what you do, you see. This thing's on a different plane than I can't do this and I can't do that as a Christian. I belong to Jesus Christ, and he belongs to me. Then there's something else, mutual service. That is something that goes in partnership. In other words, he accommodates himself to our weakness and his gentleness. I need his gentleness. And we accept his power. Now, there's a verse of Scripture I'd like to read to you that I think has been mistranslated, and it was called to my attention by Dr. G. Calmer Morgan, and I've done a little research there, and I'm convinced that our translation is not the accurate one, and it's Isaiah 63:9. You may want to turn there, because I'm turning there, and I'm going to read it the way it is in my translation. It says, in all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Now, that seems to say, in all their affliction, he was afflicted, and that's been used to comfort a great many folk. It would mean that he comes down, and in our weakness, he's weak, and that sort of thing. Now, I don't agree with that at all. The better translation is to put in the negative, not. In all their affliction, he was not afflicted. And to me, that's lots more meaningful. It means this, that I stumble and fall. Well, he doesn't stumble and fall. He accommodates himself to my stumbling, my blindness, my ignorance, my weakness. He accommodates himself to that. But he doesn't necessarily mean that he becomes weak at all. I heard a preacher once make the statement, you know, he says, now if you get into trouble and you do that ignorantly without realizing it and you are caught by circumstances, he's going to see you through and he'll help you out of it. But he says, if you go into it deliberately and foolishly, well, he'll let you alone and not work it out. Well, I want to say to that preacher that that's not my experience. Oh, I have blundered, and I have stumbled, and I have fallen, and I did it deliberately. He didn't let me down. He was there. He accommodated himself to my weakness. Oh, how wonderful this is, friends. And the partnership of Jesus Christ is the solution to the problems of life. And I think there's a verse way over in the 15th chapter you ought to put with this verse, and I think that it goes with it, because we've now finished the salutation, and he's going to deal with a lot of things between, but when you come to the end of the 15th chapter, he says, therefore, my beloved. The therefore goes back, gathers up all this marvelous epistle, but it goes way back here to verse 9, and notice this, God's faith. I can depend on the faithfulness of God, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Wherefore, or therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's taken me a long time to learn this. In fact, I've had to retire to learn this, that I'm just going ahead with him as my partner, and all these problems that come up that you see today, he's my partner. And therefore, may I say to you, I can count on him, I can look to him, and he's part and parcel of all of it. Therefore, that's the solution to the problems today, the frustrations of life, my beloved.